Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Broccoli. Carrots. Listen to your parents. I bet you the guy that wrote that song can fit a lot of stuff in his ass.
He sure can.
Oh, welcome back to another episode of the Brohio Podcast, a.k.a. The Cream Spot.
You broke it already.
Your Rodecaster Pro has encountered an error and has stopped recording. What does that fucking mean? Even better.
Oh, no.
So we got no backup here on the road. I just got a new recorder, and obviously I got the bottom of the barrel. Yeah. That's okay. That's all right.
We're recording into a speak and spell.
Yeah, it's... Oh, man. All this fucking technology, man. I don't know what to do with it. You feel me?
Yeah, and it's always fun whenever you set something up just before we're about to record.
Sure. Camera's not working.
Nah.
I had to switch our fucking stream to OBS. I don't know if that's working or not. It looks like it's working.
Seems like it's working.
Shit, dog.
Man.
Shit, dog. I don't even know, man. So let's brew this. It is making me as nervous as a whore in church that this thing is not recording us because your Rodecaster Pro has encountered an error. Recording has stopped. What the fuck? We're just going to wing it. If we lose it all, Rob, we lose it all.
It was fun while it lasted.
This computer's never failed us before.
That's very true.
Very true. Let's go to our new Patreon. Welcome to the Cream Spot. I'm the Dickalicious Nickalicious. You can call me the one that's afraid of teeth, afraid of snakes. I don't like puffy nipples. Go fuck yourself.
And I'm Rob Dog. I don't have any of those other things, but hey.
No, he's got things. He just doesn't talk about them in front of you guys.
Everybody's got things.
He's got things. All right. First off, on the new Patreon subscribers, we got Ray, as in the chick from Star Wars, Camarina. Thank you, Ray.
And next we got Tori Morabito.
That was really good.
Did you like that?
And we have Sandra Caballero. Why we got a bunch of porn star names on here today? Sandra Caballero.
Then we go to Luis Arriaga. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, and Kyle Roberts. He definitely has guns and whiskey, for sure.
Ew. So we got fucking all of a sudden go through all these funny names or fun names and get to a white name. What?
Yeah.
Man in the wide-brimmed hat. Okay.
That sounds spooky. Like yeah. Maybe someone's looking to kill us.
Maybe it's Undertaker.
Julio Escato. Julio, thank you for your Patreon pledge.
Robert Pipario.
We must have been slapping in Mexico last week. God damn. Troy Craddock. What an unfortunate last name that man's been blessed with. Troy, sorry about the last name. Troy Crocodile, thank you for your Patreon pledge.
Robert Vergara Larios.
Weedle Sergeant. You know, he was on the
Weedle.
He was on the Facebook stream for my paranormal excursion. He was commenting on there. He kind of knew what was going on.
Hell so, yeah.
Welcome, Weedle Sergeant.
David Miller, thank you very much. David.
Last but not least, fast fucking Eddie S. Eddie S, thank you for everything you do. We got a new soundboard. Let's see if it works. Yep, it looked like it picked that up.
No, Surprise, push the soundboard button.
I think it worked.
Surprise, motherfucker.
All right, we got it all set up. We got a soundboard. That's all the sounds I had time for, so that's all you're getting.
Priorities, man. You got to get a fart in there.
Unfortunately. Yeah, it's a good one, too. It's a good, messy one. What do you think about that fart, Rob Dog?
That's a shirt.
You look like you're getting nervous.
No, not at all.
Okay, so we have two promos to play from different podcasts. First off is a replay. This is Jerry and Tracy Polly from Hillbilly Horror Stories.
Hell yeah.
They got a new project going called Hillbilly Dead Time Stories, and you can get that on the YouTubes. Go check that out. It's Jerry narrating some really scary fucking stories. So you guys can go check that out. And the next one is Somewhat Sober. They approached us at our live show at Warped Wing Brewery. Mm-hmm. He said, hey, man, I'm starting a podcast. What do I need to do to get going? I said, send me a fucking promo and I'll play it and we'll be famous together. So he played. He sent me his promo and here they are. First is Hillbilly Horror Stories and then Somewhat Sober.
Don't be afraid. Lock the doors. Turn out the light. Climb into bed. It's time for Hillbilly Dead Time Stories.
This is Jerry from the Hillbilly Horror Stories podcast. You just heard the intro to our new video series on YouTube, Hillbilly Dead Time Stories. I hope you'll check it out. If you're not really a video person, check out the Hillbilly Horror Stories podcast, where my wife Tracy and myself will give you a new story of the unexplained every week. You can check out the audio version of Hillbilly Dead Time Stories as a bonus episode every Wednesday.
And next up we have... what was it?
Somewhat Sober.
Somewhat Sober.
Have I told you guys about the Battle of Los Angeles? It's absolutely crazy.
Oh, yeah, I saw that movie like a while ago.
No, that was an alien encounter, I'm pretty sure.
No, shut up. This was very real, actually occurring event in Los Angeles.
Okay, but it's also a movie, to be fair.
And are you implying that aliens aren't real?
But like, the facts, the real life version of this actually super interesting if you guys will actually listen to me.
Wasn't the I, Frankenstein guy in that one?
Oh, he totally was.
Oh.
You boys need another round?
Ooh.
Please, yes, God.
Calling all fans of history, movies, and the creepily obscure.
We are Somewhat Sober, a podcast that has everything you need.
Three friends who love to drink, have nothing better to do, talking about the horrors and spine-tingling mysteries of the world.
Some of the craziest and most obscure battles ever fought in history.
And our personal opinions on some of your favorite movies and TV shows.
You can find new episodes on Spotify every week.
And follow us at Somewhat Sober Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook to stay updated on new content.
Or if you just want to be bombarded with memes in your timeline.
So sit back,
grab a beer,
and listen in for some quality edutainment because we're
Somewhat Sober.
Give it up for all of our new friends that we met. Well, Jerry's an old friend. He's a familiar face. But go check out those podcasts, Somewhat Sober, Hillbilly Horror Stories, and more importantly, Hillbilly Dead Time Stories on YouTube. Rob, I'm going to skip the article this week because we got a little bit of the crazy stuff going on right here. You know what I mean? We got all kinds of stuff to talk about. First things first, something has morphed in my body, and now every time I wipe my fucking butt, I can't get all the shit out. The shit just goes further up my back. I don't know if it's because all my back fat has grown into my ass, Rob, but whenever I wipe my fucking butt, the poop doesn't come off. It just goes further up my back, so I'm chasing shit all the way up and between my shoulder blades.
It's your skunk stripe.
It's a skunk stripe. It's my snail trail.
That's a little different.
It's my Hershey Highway. So I get to wipe my butt.
Mm-hmm.
Or as in Kid Rock says, I get to fucking these hoes because they know who's running this shit. I get to wipe my butt and the poop. It goes, this is very embarrassing. I'm really glad we only got about 4 or 5 people listening to this thing, but I get to wipe my butt and the poop just goes further up my butt crack until it gets to the small of my back. And then it just keeps on traveling up my back.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened to me at work is I wiped and I sat back down. Well, I leaned forward to wipe and then I leaned back and there was literally shit all around the rim of the toilet
seat. Hell yeah.
From where I'm covered in poop. So I just sit there and cry and think about what I've done Is my body, am I taking on the shape of a unicorn, which my mom always said I would do?
Yeah.
What is happening with my body that is making this happen? And I started looking in the mirror, and I think it's because my back fat's grown into my ass, and I no longer have a good gunk-a-dunk. I just got a flump back there. I don't have the good stuff. I don't have the goodies anymore. I've got the baddies, if you...
Yeah, you
get my drift.
It's definitely a diet thing.
That's the nicest way anyone's ever called me fat in my entire life. Okay,
yeah,
so...
Yeah, man, creamy shits. That's not fun.
It was on... text me... I gotta do this fucking goddamn Facebook shit login. So I did the... I went to Browse a Wild Books, and this is in Tip City, Ohio.
Okay.
And allegedly, this place is really haunted.
Right.
It's burnt to the ground. I don't know if anybody's died in this place or not, but I went on a paranormal excursion with Tip City Paranormal, and the dude, Justin, that took us, he said, "You are going to see some shit tonight, buddy. You are going to hear some shit."
Yep.
I said, "Fuck you. You can't make ghosts perform on, you know, just
Sean Command."
Yeah, they don't do that stuff.
Right.
Well, we're down in this basement of this place. There was me, my buddy Ron, who's the generic version of Rob, and then there was Justin and his wife, and then the lady that's a manager there. They were all downstairs with me. Front door is dead bolted shut. The back door is dead bolted shut. This building's from the 1800s, mid-1800s.
Yeah.
And we're talking to the ghost, and we're like, "If you're here, turn the flashlight on." And this goddamn flashlight starts fucking turning on, Rob. I'm not making this shit up. This thing's sitting on the shelf, and it starts turning on and turning itself off as we're talking to this, whatever it was. But then right as we start to, I'll remind you that we're the only ones there, and we were in the basement. And right as this light starts to perform on duty, or perform on command, I hear footsteps right above me. The ceiling is really short in the basement, but it's hardwood floor right above me. I can hear clear as day someone or something walking around above me. And I'm going to play it from the YouTube. This is from our live
stream. From your live stream, yeah.
Yeah. Make sure the audio is all good. It was about the 8-minute mark.
Excuse me.
Let
me turn it on.
Let me turn this mother.
I'll say, yeah, it's a little quiet.
Let me turn this mother up real quick. Right.
All right. So I've got the flashlight on. If you're here with us, could you turn the flashlight off?
And just listen for a second. She's trying to get this ghost to perform. And in just a minute, you hear footsteps right above me. Maybe.
That was a fart.
Ooh.
We're not upstairs.
Yeah. There's no one upstairs?
There's nobody upstairs right now.
You sound so scared.
I was scared for my fucking life,
the live
dude.
Stream that...
There's nobody upstairs? Did you hear all that?
Yeah, that was right up above you.
That was right above my head. That was... I'm gonna play it again. It's like...
Ooh.
We're not upstairs.
Yeah. It's like 3 foot.
Yeah, you can hear little ones taper off after it.
I don't know what the fuck that was. I was so scared, and I thought that I was going to die. And I said, all week long, I've been smearing poop further up my back than I can care to clean off all by myself, and I'm going to die in this basement with these goddamn library demons.
Maybe you smuggled a ghost in your butt.
And then they said, the lady's like, "Well, we don't do Ouija boards." I said, "No fucking problem, bitch, because I ain't fucking with no Ouija boards down here because I'm not trying to die."
It's got you taking spooky dookies now.
I'm taking all kinds of spooky dookies. And I, oh, man, I was rattled, dude. I was rattled. And I'm still not a complete believer in the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a turtle or something. Something wild.
Turtle.
Something wild up there running around on the hardwood.
You guys got raccoons in here?
I don't know what it was, but that was, if you guys go to our Facebook live stream, I live streamed for like an hour and Rob kept on patronizing me the entire time. I'm trying to be serious, real life shit. I'm trying to hunt for real life ghosts, trying to find stuff on the other side, and I keep on looking down at the Facebook live stream. And Rob's like, Nick, if you can read this, make a real nice, loud, cheeky fart. And he's just antagonizing me the entire
time. Nick, if you're reading this, shit your pants.
If you can smell this, pass out. Very special thank you to the sponsor of this episode, Rebecca. Rebecca's been exceptionally patient with the process we've been going through. Without revealing too much,
yeah,
we had a very sick, injured family member who's doing a lot better now. So,
yep,
we're thankful for that, but it did put us back a couple days. We love our families more than we love all of you, and we love you a whole lot. So,
that says something.
Just got to take care of the business sometimes. Yep. We're here with you guys.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
There is a big swerve at the end of the story.
Sweet.
And it involves Rebecca.
Okay.
So stick around for that, her awesome interview, because she really has a lot to contribute to the story.
I'm excited.
Rebecca's dead, and we are going to have to summon Rebecca to get her to come onto the show.
Okay.
And Rebecca's a really interesting person. With,
cool.
She's not a prostitute either, if that's what you were thinking.
No. But I'm not going to be able to get the thought out of my head.
November 29th, 1987. Around 9:30 p.m., two teenagers were heading to the local makeout spot. When they arrived at their destination, they found something that they would like that would likely change them forever. There, lying on the side of the road, was 23-year-old Shirley Anna Ellis. Shirley was known to the police as a local prostitute. Rebecca, the sponsor of the episode, is not a prostitute. Keep that in mind, Rob.
Okay.
But she was believably, and I say believably, starting to turn her life around. She was working very hard towards becoming a nurse. She worked at the local Wilmington Hospital. This is in Delaware, I do believe. Where between helping patients, she would be seen with her nose always buried in nursing books. So she really wanted to become a nurse. But before this, she was a prostitute, so just keep that in mind. She was a hooker.
My last name used to be Ellis. Maybe I'm related to her.
Did it really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, my last name was changed when I was 4 or 5.
Wow, I had no idea that. Yeah. You've been hiding this from me from all this time?
Yeah, that was my original last name. That's
pretty cool.
That's my birth father's last name.
We got to find him and get him on the show.
Oh, he lives right here.
I know. You showed me a picture of him one time. He looks fucking wild, dude. He was wearing white.
He looks like he watches NASCAR, that's for sure.
He was wearing white Converse high tops and like a Bush Light hat.
Yeah, long, scraggly hair.
You were like, this is my dad. I'm like, what the fuck? God. Yeah, we got to go there after we're done here. We'll go there. We'll cold call him. We'll just knock on the door. I will demand 18 years of child support. I'm a big motherfucker, and I haven't fought or rumbled in a long time. Take me, Rob. We'll clean this dude out.
I'm sure he probably frequents like the Little York Tavern or something.
That's a nice place.
It's all right.
That's a nice establishment. Yeah. The hot air balloon is the one in Vandalia where all the trashy people
go. Oh, there you
go. Yeah, it's about the size of a Portageon.
Wings. And they he's there on cover band night at Wings.
Yeah, for sure. Now, part of Shirley's dark past, she knew her way around Route 40 because, like I said, she was used to be a hooker. And this was in Newcastle County, Delaware. She was privy to what it took to get from point A to point B without paying for transportation. This is back before there was an Uber. So for all the times, Rob and I grew up in a weird time. We've kind of experienced the infancy of all things technology, whether it is social media, all these new applications. When Rob and I were 17, 18, 19, you know, when we were coming of age, we had to suck a guy's dick in order to get from point A to point B whenever we were in a car. And I am too fat to fit between a guy's crotch and a steering wheel. That is not a comfortable spot for me.
Yeah, yeah. the old saying, like, I don't take anybody without, you know, ass, grass, or cash. Like, I never had any money or weed, so.
You go out to spread up. Hold on a second.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And people that say that are good at saying that, ass, gas, or crash, or crash, I can't say it. I might get too tongue-tied.
Right.
But when you get in the car and they're ass, gas, crash, or gash.
It's always the same type of person.
Yeah, man, that's cool. That's you. You do you, player. But that fateful night around 6 p.m., her mode of transportation for the 14-mile trek was hitchhiking. I would not say that this is the safest mode of travel known to man. Hitchhiking is probably the most dangerous mode of travel.
It's got a bad rap.
I've never done it.
No, me neither.
If you've ever hitchhiked and accidentally had sex with somebody, send us an email, brohiopodcast@gmail.com.
That'd be amazing. Good for you.
Also, we've been getting a lot of residual emails of people saying, I'm tired. So if you're tired, keep it going. Just tell us. Send us an email, brohiopodcast@gmail.com.
I feel that down in my soul.
We're tired, too. We're always tired. I tell my wife, I say, what do you want for dinner? I'm just like, I'm fucking tired. So tired, I don't
even... Well, you can't eat that.
Oh, I'm just tired. She was going, and she was... Shirley was heading into work to assist an AIDS patient, and she was bringing the patient a plate of food from her own home. So,
oh, that's nice.
They were celebrating Thanksgiving a few days late, and she had some leftover food. And she was getting kind of close to this AIDS patient, so she was bringing in food to provide to the AIDS patient. And I hope she didn't get too close when she fed him, because you can get that shit. You can get that monkey on your back. That's what it's called in prison.
Yeah.
You got that monkey,
got
on,
monkey
your,
on his back.
All the guys in the pill call line that were drinking Ensure, I knew they had AIDS. So I knew if they were if they were in their cell raging, like, come here, I'll beat my fucking ass, CO. And I seen him in the insure line, I'd be like, you do you, player. You wild out in there, buddy. I ain't coming in there with you, because you get to bleeding on me and I'll die.
Yeah, just spit in your face.
I remember I broke up one fight and I was covered in blood. And I went down to the infirmary and they started cleaning me up and stuff. And it wasn't my blood. And the lady started looking.
Attaboy.
The lady started looking at the inmate's chart. And I was like, you know, being funny. I'm like, yeah, does he got hepatitis? And she looked up at me and she's just staring at me. And I could tell like her entire body had left, like her soul had left. And she's staring at me. She's like, I can't tell you anything about his medical file. And she just kept staring at me. And I said, oh, fuck. I didn't know what it was. I never found out what it was, but I had to go for a bunch of tests and stuff like that. And they're talking about, there's some kind of like chemo thing where you think you've been infected by HIV, they like flush your blood. I don't know what it's called or the procedure, but they were certainly talking about doing something to me that I was not going to be excited with.
Yeah.
And I never found out what that, I think it might've been hepatitis. I'm not sure though, but, I'm okay now.
Good.
Unless I'm not okay, then I guess I'm not okay, but I feel great. I feel fine.
I'm waiting for let me tell you something. Living with hepatitis isn't that bad.
I found my way through the jungle of hepatitis. I'm stronger now. And when I thought, when I heard hepatitis as a child, I never knew what it meant. I thought it meant you, like your body got really hard, like your fucking wiener turned into metal and stuff. I never knew what hepatitis meant. I was a really stupid kid though. Really fat, ugly kid. Really stupid. Also.
I still don't know what it does. I just know I don't want it.
Yeah, I definitely don't want it. We can give it to each other after we're done here. When the teenagers looking to make out discovered Shirley's body, they immediately went to call for help. But there was little that anyone could do at this point. Shirley was wearing a pair of my favorite aqua blue pants. You're pooping a pair of them bad boys.
It turned green.
Yeah. She had ligature strangulation marks around her neck.
Uh-oh.
Numerous skull lacerations consistent with a fucking hammer.
Oh, no.
Wrist injuries consistent with binding and a pattern bruising to the left breast or tit and nipple. The scientific term is tatty.
Tipple. titty nipple.
I always tell my wife, I say, show me them tatties.
I say taters.
Yeah, give me them taters. They do not like being...
Dude, that's like, it's... They don't it just like, sounds so bad. Like,
they don't like us.
Let me see them taters.
You know, whenever my wife is cooking, I always walk by and I grab her. Like, I'm just inappropriate.
Yeah, sure, but you gotta be.
I love her and I love the way she looks.
Yeah.
And I like when I'm making sex with her. But so I just take what's mine. I'll reach up and grab it wherever I want to do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes she gets mad. She'll turn around and be like, I'm fucking cooking. She yell at me. And I'll be like, you're my fucking property. I'll yell at her. And it's always, no one ever wins the fight because I'm never going to stop. And, you know, I'm never going to see what she's seeing. But the other day I was making spaghetti meatballs for my family and she walked by and goosed me, grabbed my balls the bottom. And she went, come here. And she like grabbed me. I was cooking. And I turned around and I said, keep your fucking hands off me. I was all flustered because I was making meatballs and spaghetti for everybody.
And she grabbed your meatballs and noodle.
I'm trying to cook for everybody. And she grabs me. She grabs the snake and the beaver from behind.
Yeah.
I look really weird down there. And she grabbed all of it. Like she knew exactly what she wanted and what she was going to get. And I turned around and I said, keep your fucking hands off me. I stared a hole right through. I was upset. I said, you can't just grab me anytime you want. So I know how they feel.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And then sometimes I'd be like, well, you could have a husband that just doesn't like to grab you. And she's like, I'm glad I don't have that. And I'm like, well, then I'm going to keep grabbing you. There you go.
Yeah, they hate when you grab you, but when you don't grab them, they get pissed that you don't.
Yeah, you'll hear about that.
Yeah.
The next day you'll wake, oh, I was walking around with my titties hanging out last night, and you didn't even, like, I was trying to be respectful.
They don't care how tired I am. I have titty senses. I wake up.
Come here. I can see him in the dark. It's like a fucking shining beacon of hope.
Yeah, it's like how babies have the reflex when they just like start sucking. Like it's like me. I see a titty or just the titty senses, and I'm just like.
Like Spidey sense. But
exactly. Titty sense.
Yeah. I'm going to go talk to my wife's boobs as soon as I'm done here.
You're going to go yell at him.
Yeah. The medical examiner determined that Shirley Ellis, your aunt, her death was caused by strangulation and blunt force head trauma.
All right.
What were the police to think, though? She was a known street worker. She was a prostitute. She's a hooker. She's a skank.
She's a sex worker.
Street skank, which is a pretty dangerous profession as they come. You know, they don't like to be called sluts or prostitutes or hookers, which I respect it. I think they prefer... worker, like they're working. They say, I'm working. I don't think selling sex should be illegal.
Not at all.
That's another fucking episode for another time.
Yeah, I mean, shit. Regulate it.
Regulators!
Government loves to make money off of it.
I don't want to pay for it. I'll go take it for free right now.
That's the thing. That's why it's not bad. If you don't pay for it, you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you don't approve of it, just don't fucking pay for it.
Let the people do what they're going to do.
It's not your damn body. Let them do what they want with their body.
And I've seen the people in Amsterdam. They got women that stand up in the windows and flash their stuff, whatever. I think that... sorry.
What are we doing in the U.S.?
I don't know. It's not Amsterdam, though. It's a lot cooler over there. You can smoke, you can get fucked up and just walk around and... Oh, I'm never going there.
I've seen the movie Hostel. I'm not going over there. I'm good.
The people of Newcastle were shocked by her murder, but detectives assumed she was murdered by a passing trucker and the identity of her murderer would never be known. As disturbing as the torture and mutilation was associated with the death of Shirley Ellis, there wasn't much motivation to locate her murderer. While she was gagged to keep from screaming at the time of her death, there was no evidence of sexual assault whatsoever. So this wasn't a sexually driven crime, which is kind of crazy for a murder like this. The state prosecutor, Kathleen Jennings, noted that there was no reason for Shirley to be murdered. Quote, no angry boyfriend or anything that would connect a murderer to her death. For a time, people believed it was an interstate trucker.
Okay.
Yeah, so they definitely thought it was... just a run-of-the-mill...
just a passerby.
Heat of the moment. I accidentally kill her with a hammer.
Yeah. Oops.
I was helping her fix her fucking table at her house, and I swung and hit her in the head. we were hitchhiking, though. It's complicated. Could you imagine being in an interrogation room knowing that you killed someone? Police are so good at turning the screws on. It's so scary. The first 48, I feel for those people. I'm like, just leave them alone. That person they killed probably deserved to die, but just leave them alone.
That's shoot, man. If that ever happened to me, whether I did it or not, the only thing I would say is that I'm not walking myself into a corner. I'm lawyering up right off the bat. Yeah.
You ain't saying fucking shit to me.
What's his name? Mike on Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah.
Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
There's another, he's like, lawyer. Lawyer. That's all he says.
My daughter asked me to sign a permission slip yesterday. I said, I'm not signing shit without my attorney. I'm all about it. I'm not doing it. So, well, Rob's going to tell you all about the next victim in this interesting tale.
So it seemed that the sad, sadistic murder of Shirley Ellis was an isolated incident until the community was rocked yet again. 7 months later, witnesses claimed they'd observed Catherine DeMauro walking up and down Route 40.
That was a hooker.
Okay, another sex worker. The same witnesses were unable to affirm whether or not Catherine was working as a prostitute that evening, but unfortunately for her, it didn't make much difference. On June 29th, 1988, according to court documents, Catherine DeMauro was walking along Route 40 around 11:30 p.m. on June 28th, 1988. The 31-year-old divorcee had a history of prostitution arrests, but it was unclear if she was working that night when she accepted a ride from a stranger in a blue van.
Oh.
Workers building the Fox Run apartment complex found her body at 6:25 a.m. the next morning. DeMauro was found completely naked. That was the only difference. Everything else was exactly the same. Her wrists and ankles were bound. She was silenced with duct tape. And once again, there was no sign of sexual activity, but she had been tortured sadistically with work tools.
Oh, no.
The manner of her death was the same, too. She had been strangled with ligature and bludgeoned with a hammer. Everything was consistent with the Ellis case, recalls James Hedrick, a former Newcastle County police captain and a member of the task force. We felt that the same person was responsible for both murders. This time, however, the killer left a clue. DeMauro was covered head to toe in blue carpet fiber.
Oh. I'll edit that one out. I'll go back and edit it out.
Okay.
I don't want to give it away.
As I say, yeah, that's a little foreshadowing there.
A week later, officers from the Delaware State Police and the Newcastle County Police Department sprang into action because they got two dead bodies on their hands at this point.
Same murder.
Same thing. They were tied up, choked, beat with a
hammer.
Goddamn hammer. And unfortunately, it was not. The violence would continue to grow. A task force was formed, complete with its own headquarters near the Newcastle County Airport. Cool. With roughly 60 members, it was the state's third largest police department for a time. Quote, we had access to an airplane, helicopters, and rental vehicles, Hendricks said. Money wasn't an issue. I don't know anyone who's ever worked for a government agency where money wasn't an issue. We had an unlimited budget. At that point, the task force members started to coordinate with the FBI's Behavioral Science Unit in Quantico, Virginia. Then the FBI dropped the news that small town Delaware wasn't ready to hear. There was a serial killer on the loose.
Ooh.
Only two dead bodies. We got ourselves a serial killer already. And this serial killer was living among them, and he was preying upon women, mostly prostitutes. The only common but obvious connection between the two murderers was their commonality on Route 40, which the name of this episode is the Route 40 Killer, so do with that what you want. They were likely looking for a male figure at this point, the suspect, that is. Someone that, if they were in a relationship, they were probably abusive, I would say so, as he'd cut one of the girl's tits off. They also likely had a large vehicle with enough space to carry out the brutal murders.
You imagine being the police captain there. All right, we're looking for a man with a tit collection in his closet.
No, he didn't. The first one, he didn't take her tit. It grew.
He didn't take her tit.
He let her keep her tit.
Good.
While Catherine DeMauro was murdered in similar fashion to Shirley Ellis, it did appear this act was more violent. Whomever carried out the murder used side snips or wire cutters
Ooh.
to cut off one of Catherine's nipples.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I don't like that. Ooh. Dude.
I fucking hate my nipples being messed with. I hate it. I've never, ever.
Yeah, I'm not
that
a fan
was
either.
The only time I ever punched my mom in the face is whenever she would. I don't want to go there, Rob.
My wife will, whenever we're laying down in bed, like I'll have like my back up against her, I'll be the little spoon, and she'll put her arm around me, and she'll reach around and put her arm under my shirt and put her finger in my belly button. And I fucking hate it. She does it just because it pisses me off. Like, that's one of the things, like, don't fucking
belly
do that.
Belly button.
Yes, it's like, that's so weird.
My dad fucking hates his belly. I remember I was a kid. Yeah. You know, you, like, sit with your dad, and I would, well, you never went through this, but
I definitely didn't.
Chill out with my dad, you know, and I would reach over and I'd start poking him in the belly button.
Yeah.
Like, you fucking quit touching my goddamn belly button. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with you? I'm just playing with you. I'm just trying to make fun games to play your belly button. You're not going to fall apart. And then he started telling me that his arms and legs would pop off if I touched his belly button.
So that's so funny.
A very, very long time, I believe that if I touched my dad's belly button, his arms and legs would pop off.
That's so good.
So then if I saw my brother trying to do it, my little brother, I'd be like, no, no, I start defending my father.
That's awesome.
Broccoli, carrots, listen to your parents. And I wouldn't touch his belly button because I didn't want him to die.
Yeah.
And to this day, if I get an opening, I'll touch his belly button. He'd be like, oh, fucking fuck you. Fuck you. You fucking fat piece of shit. I should have bought a condom. That's what he always says about my he's bitching about my older brother. I'll say, how's my brother? He said, I should have bought a condom. What a sweet thing to say about your son. That's okay. He loves all of us equally. Just not as much as the other, if you get what I'm saying.
I get you.
So we're at the part where Catherine had her nipple cut off with a side snipper wire cutters. Ugh. The coroner determined that she was tortured before she was actually murdered. So she was alive for the entire process of her torturing.
Yeah, they cut her fucking nipple off.
I'm gonna need that.
Surprise, motherfucker.
You ain't gonna need this nipple anymore.
That's my nipple. It appeared that her butt cheeks had been beaten with a hammer as well.
What the fuck?
I know. That gives new meaning to hitting it from behind, doesn't it?
Holy shit.
So it looked like he like pulverized her butt cheeks with a fucking hammer. There was deep bruising like on her butt cheeks. When the hammer was used to strike her in the head, the hammer was swung with such force that skull fragments had splintered into her brain.
Oh, my gosh.
It shook the community when they got the news about there being a serial killer, because less than 1% of murderers actually turn out to be serial killers. That's a pretty good statistic right there. After the FBI analyzed everything, they confirmed it was indeed a fucking serial killer. The FBI started to develop a psychological and physical profile of the killer.
I'm still completely baffled by the fact that he beat her ass with the fucking hammer. Like,
he said, hey, give me your titty. That's my girl. Give me that titty. Took it from her.
And then just fucking clobbers her ass cheeks with a hammer.
I'm gonna beat it up.
Damn, dude. I've never heard anybody doing that before.
Next time one of you fine gentlemen listen to the show, get behind your wife. I want you to say, I'm fitzing to beat it up. And I want you to take one of those little Fisher-Price hammers.
You just hear your toolbox open. And she's like, what are you doing?
I don't want a real hammer. I don't want blood on my hands. I want a little Fisher-Price. Yeah.
Like a wiffle ball bat.
I want a VTech hammer. I want something that's not going to hurt her.
Yeah.
Something's going to make you guys stronger is what I'm trying to do.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think.
Let us know how that goes.
Send us an email, brohiopodcast@gmail.com. We'll have you on the show. Send us a picture of the hammer. Thank you. He's likely. They're saying the FBI said he was likely a male, 25 to 35 years old. He likely lived or worked within a 5-mile radius of where the bodies were found.
Okay.
Like we said before, he likely drove a truck or a van that would work well for the killings. He had room to cut off nipples, beat butt cheeks, all the various things that serial killers do when he's taking care of prostitutes on Route 40. His familiarity with the tools used for the tortures likely meant he was an electrician, a carpenter, a plumber, some kind of tradesman. Unfortunately, they were convinced he was just an average-looking Joe, which would make it impossible, essentially a needle in a haystack, trying to find this guy.
Makes sense.
Although his last murder left the victim covered from head to toe in some type of blue fibers, much like Rob said before. So they got a little bit of evidence here. She covered in blue fibers. Maybe he dressed her up like the Cookie Monster and fucking beat her with a hammer and then got the fuck out of there. You don't know what happened at this point.
I would have.
With the task force now band together, because the FBI and the local police department did create a task force, it was time to start hitting the streets. I love a Hell good yeah. sting operation, Rob Dog.
Sure.
Soon, they had undercover female officers dressed as prostitutes walking the stretch of highway looking for clues. These female officers would engage in flirty banter with the men who stopped, but they never got into the vehicle with the men. Meanwhile, other task force members were trying to identify the strange fibers that were found all over DeMauro's body. The decoy prostitutes wore microphones, but would never get inside of the vehicles that they were attempting to solicit. The FBI instructed the local detectives to immediately zero in on any men that solicited the women, but they wanted them to move a little quicker on men that stopped to talk to the women and maybe wanted to talk about it, something kind of weird. Maybe,
okay.
Maybe if they stopped, hey, you want to come in here and get your ass beat? All right. Well, I don't know what they mean by that. It's just that they wanted to move in a little more swiftly on the men that stopped to talk about weird shit. I think stopping to solicit a prostitute on a main drag is kind of weird to begin with.
You ever fucked a guy in a Cookie Monster outfit?
How you like having your nipples cut off? Hope you don't like them nipples. Those are my nipples. So they wanted to move kind of swiftly on anyone that was talking about anything kind of weird. Look at these wire cutters I got. That turn you on. The detectives were actually having a hard time finding someone that was willing to be the decoy.
You think?
I guess that takes a lot of dignity away from a female officer when they're kind of trusted to be a prostitute. But
yeah.
Yeah, here we are. They had to look the part, talk the part, and overall have good senses and be street savvy, which I would imagine is probably a stretch to find in a young female officer. Not that they're not good officers, but just to find someone that looks the part, that's enticing enough to get these guys, and then has all the perfect package together. Mm-hmm. It was probably quite the hunt to find the perfect person. Most fellow officers that they were soliciting said, no, I'm not fucking doing this for you. You can find another female officer. On July 13th, they started the undercover sting, but they said that the first officer, she was fucking terrible, and she couldn't get into any time. She couldn't get into any type of street rhythm. So it's, okay. They said she was really awkward. She couldn't do a very good job of trying to solicit these guys. These guys would pull up, and they'd be like, hey, baby. And she'd be like, you're trying to get your pee-pee sucked on? Because pee-pee is a dirty word.
Yeah.
That's my ba-doing. Anytime I hear pee-pee, that's what gets me going. In 1996, over 20 years ago, a company by the name of CD Universe began selling music and movies on the internet. While they are a small company with only about a dozen employees, they are competing big time with the big box stores, shipping nationally and internationally. Now, it wasn't the plan, but a vendor accidentally shipped them a box of porn one time. CD Universe said, we're going to run with this. These toys and adult novelties, well, they sold like crazy. Maybe asking, what does CD Universe sell? They got bullets, vibrators, including rabbits, strokers, lubricants, bondage gear, dildos, cock rings, my personal favorite, anal toys, and everything else. And the bros of Brohio are here to tell you that you should give CD Universe a try. They have a huge selection of products from all the major adult toy brands, including Cal Exotics, Doc Johnson, Evolved, and Pipe Dream. Also, they've got boutique brands, condoms, and even lingerie. Shipping and billing are completely discreet. Everything will say CD Universe, which, they still do sell CDs, vinyl records, DVDs, Blu-rays, you name it, they got it. Their customer service department is award-winning and professional. CD Universe's website is safe and secure. And just think about it. There's no super awesome adult toys around where you live at. CD Universe can bring all of that to your doorstep with no judgment. Try whatever you want and get whatever you need. And as a listener of the Brohio podcast, we'd like to treat our listeners right, so you'll get 20% off of your first order by visiting cduniverse.com/Brohio. Guys, it's time to have some fun in the bedroom. Bullets, vibrators, strokers, lubricants, bondage gear, dildos, cock ring! merch, anal toys, everything else. CDUniverse.com/Brohio.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that do not suck. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 awesome flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine and cherry ice flavor. And every flavor actually tastes great. It's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym. Me personally, I'm a lifelong user of chewing tobacco. Since making the switch to the cleaner alternative of Lucy Nicotine, I personally have cut way back on my chewing tobacco use. It's 2001, get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple, and you don't have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down. Brohio listeners, go to lucy.co, that's L-U-C-Y. .co and use the promo code Brohio, B-R-O-H-I-O, to get 20% off all products on your first order, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co, L-U-C-Y.co, and use promo code Brohio at checkout. Also, I must give this disclaimer, warning: this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. That's lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code Brohio.
Support for the Brohio podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Big news! Manscaped just released their new cologne scent to help you feel good and smell good all over and all the time. Who knew smelling this good could feel this good, too? Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement for all your below-the-waist grooming needs. I can only speak of the betrayal the day my wife caught me shaving my balls with her leg razor. With the help of Manscaped, I will never have to worry about this embarrassment ever again. The new signature cologne by Manscaped is absolutely incredible, and it goes along perfectly with their Perfect Package 3.0 for all your below-the-waist grooming needs. Their signature scent has a light citrus burst before settling into the anchoring notes of vetiver and a woodsy masculine finish. This 50 milliliter spray cologne is even hypoallergenic, cruelty-free, dye-free, paraben-free, and 100% vegan. Also, be sure to check out the Perfect Package 3.0 with all the essentials for your below-the-waist grooming needs, including the lawnmower 3.0 trimmer and crop formulations. Yes, I'm talking about ball deodorant and toner to keep your testes besties. This stuff is absolutely incredible, guys, and now you can use the new Manscaped Refined Cologne to complete your set and smell great anytime, anywhere. It's great to feel sexy, and it's time to feel sexy. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BROHIO at manscaped.com. That's the promo code BROHIO at manscaped.com. Your balls
and your body
will thank you very much. You see that Canadian review that we had that I put up on Facebook?
That. Yeah.
Well, let me read it real quick.
Pretty glorious.
I'm going to read this again one time. This is a really upsetting review that we just got today from Canada. And I thought Canadians were progressive people.
Yeah. I don't know.
The review
obviously
says,
not.
Yeah, it says, it's all about dicks and gay jokes on here. All they talk about is weird stuff. End of review. 1 star. And this is from the Truthful Citizen Apple Podcast, Canada.
Okay.
Great maple syrup up there in that motherfucker, though.
I'm going to leave her a 1-star review.
Fuck that person. I can't even access Canadian reviews.
That's right, yeah.
To leave them even if we wanted to.
Yeah.
So this officer, this decoy officer they had, she was really uncomfortable, didn't do a very good job. But unbeknownst to the detectives, the killer was already making moves to hide himself from the investigation. He took the vehicle that was involved in the first murder of Shirley Ellis. He took his vehicle to the shredder, and there was no trace of the vehicle at this point.
Look at him.
He bought a used Ford work van to accommodate his slayings, and he would actually lay low for a while. 2 months had went by since the torturing and death of his second victim, Catherine DeMoro. So we got 2 months of silence, but then he struck again.
Sure. But the urge to kill found our guy once again on August 22nd, 1988. The killer changed from his usual spot on Route 40, because it's swarming with piggies, to the street
Delaware.
Sides.
I can't imagine the prostitutes are very attractive in Delaware.
They moved to the street side along US 13. The killer then spotted mother of two, Margaret Lynn Finner. I'm assuming that's Finner. Yeah, it looks right. Standing on the side of the highway outside of Old General Wayne Inn near Hare's Corner.
You're trying to come down here to Hare's Corner and take a look at what I got hiding up underneath this skirt. That's not my panties. That's my dick.
So it was just 5 miles from the spot where Shirley and Catherine were last seen.
Got you some thick ass panties, girl.
These women all have really like old woman names.
They do. This is back in the '80s, a thousand years ago.
That's true. Margaret Finner had recently relapsed on an aggressive cocaine addiction. She was selling sex to make ends meet and to satisfy her need for the good old cocaine.
Ooh, the booger sugar.
The booger sugar, yeah. Shit's expensive.
It is.
Yeah. When the killer picked up Margaret Finner, there were watchful eyes during this instance. One of Margaret's friends watched as the 27-year-old got inside of a blue Ford work van.
Oh, now we're getting somewhere.
Yep. It was too dark for witnesses to see the driver's face, but the witness could verify that it was a white male. Okay, good job.
I can't see his face, but I know he's a cracker motherfucker.
This would be the last time that anyone ever saw Margaret Finner alive. Roughly 3 months later, Finner was found dead near the Chesapeake and Delaware Canal, her body in such an advanced state of decay that the cause of death could not be determined, and no one was ever charged.
Oh, that's unfortunate. That's sad.
Yeah, it is.
The task force luckily had a decoy at this point that they could work with. Renee Tashner, I looked her up on Facebook. She did not accept my friend request, so...
They tried.
I tried. They found out she was perfect for the job. Detectives said they oftentimes would have cars waiting in line to talk to her, 5 to 6 car lengths deep. They had doctors, lawyers, school teachers.
Get a girl.
All of those lined up. That seems like it would be a little profound with a fucking prostitute and there's a line.
So I wonder, like, if at that point she was, like, reconsidering career paths.
I don't know, dude.
She's like, damn.
This is before... fans only or whatever or the fuck that is. Like, you know, you can't just do it in your living room. You gotta get out there and walk around town and do it.
Good for her. Get it, girl.
Yeah. On the night of September 14th, 1988, there was a monster on the prowl. A blue Ford panel van with round headlights, much like the one that was sighted in the other disappearances, drove past and stopped farther down the road, passed again, stopped again, and turned around. Renee Tashner, the decoy prostitute, estimated that the van drove past her 7 times in 20 minutes. To bait the man even further, she wandered into more secluded territory to help him feel more comfortable.
So look at her.
Kind of went in the dark, a little street savvy. And I believe this officer that they used, she had only been on the force. She was 23 years old, Renee Tashner, and she'd only been on the force for about 5 months.
Oh, wow.
So this is good street savvy. She's probably a good-ass fucking cop.
Good for her, yeah.
A white male opened up the side panel. Tashner immediately saw the blue carpet covering the van's interior. She also noticed the driver's coldness. He would, quote, "He was different from any other person who stopped for me," she recalls. "It was hard to get into a conversation. He wasn't in the moment. He was looking right through me." Playfully, she got close enough to the van to rub her hands across the carpet, pulling out many of the blue fibers for testing.
So look at her.
She grabbed a handful of pubes. Sometimes I get really mad at someone in public. I reach in my britches and I'll rip out a handful of pubes and I'll throw it like a fireball at him. And I call it a pube missile. And they're like, I yell it when I'm like, "Pube missile!" And I throw it. And then they're, "What are you yelling about?" I said, "You fucking cut me off back there." And I follow him all the way to Kroger or Long John Silver's or wherever I follow him to. Well, the last time was at Long John Silver's, and I fucking hit him with a pube missile. If you ever use pube missile, send us an email, broilpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear about your story and your tales.
Please, I want to hear about that.
Oh, pube missile. So she does the smart thing. She rubs her hand across the carpet and grabs a handful of it. The driver kept demanding she get into the van, but she made up a story about being tired from partying all day and she needed to sleep. For me,
why would she be outside then?
He would have really had some buyer's remorse if he got her in the van.
Oops.
There's $20. And she's like, "I'm fucking tired." It's just like being married.
Right.
Whatever. This tipped the driver. So he kind of was like, okay, something kind of weird is going on.
Definitely,
here.
Yeah.
And anytime you try and solicit a prostitute and she won't get in the car with you, that's a pretty good chance it's a cop and you're going to jail that night.
Yep.
And he immediately left the scene, but this is not before she secured the carpet in her hands as evidence. While Officer Tashner, the prostitute decoy, was engaging the suspect, the detectives ran the license plate for the van. It returned to Stephen Brian Pinnell, a Delaware electrician with no criminal record.
Yeah.
And they were looking for an electrician in the beginning. You recall that because he cut the lady's tit off with side snips.
Yep.
After the interaction between Stephen Brian Pinnell, the fibers recovered from the van were expedited to the crime lab. Pinnell expedited his path of murderous destruction. The police had also secured a search warrant to follow Pinnell at this point. And on September 16th, 1998, I believe this is only 2 days later.
1988.
Yeah, 1988. Sorry, this was 2 days later. Almost a month later.
There you go.
Michelle Gordon, 22 years old, a Newcastle resident, disappeared. She was last seen walking along Route 40 and getting into a blue panel van.
Ugh.
She was a known prostitute to the local police as well. 4 days later, her body washed ashore on the banks of the Chesapeake and Delaware Canal. She was a cocaine addict as well. For the purpose of research here, I would really like to know if they were addicted to cocaine or crack cocaine or what the drug of choice was. Because I don't know that cocaine is the type of drug that makes people do these type of things. I don't know if
I feel like it'd have to be crack cocaine.
It's definitely crack. She was also the only victim that died while being tortured. The coroner said with all the drugs in her system, her heart basically exploded she started to get tortured. So she was the only one that had she was fortunate enough to not have to go through the torture process.
Wow.
She died. Her heart essentially exploded inside of her chest because of the shock of the pain was too much. She died.
Man.
Yeah.
So 3 days later, Kathleen Meyer, another Brookmont Farms resident, was last seen alive hitchhiking along Route 40 around 9:30 p.m. An off-duty police officer spotted the 26-year-old accepting a ride from a stranger in a blue Ford van. Aware of its connections to the murder, he jotted down the plate number. It was registered to Pinnell. Meyer's body was never found. At this point, they started mirroring his every move. Tashner even sat next to Pinnell at a Moody Blues concert.
This is how close they were shadowing him.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
She also recalls a heartbreaking encounter with his daughter, who approached the officer during a stakeout and asked for a donation to a school fundraiser. This is in quotes here. She was a kid. You never want any child to experience what was happening, says Tashner. Delaware Attorney General Charles Oberle approved a search warrant for Pinnell's van. The suspect had been pulled over for a routine traffic violation and was immediately hauled into court to pay his ticket, an infrequent but legal method for the police to detain a suspect. Police searched the vehicle, which spoke to them in ways that the victims could not. They discovered carpet fibers matching those on the victims, along with hair, blood, and the same brand of duct tape used on DeMauro.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Well played. There was the so-called torture kit, which included pliers, a whip, handcuffs, needles, knives, and restraints. And an arrest warrant was issued, and on November 29th, 1988, a year after he claimed his first victim, Pinnell was in handcuffs, charged with the murder of DeMauro, Gordon, and Ellis. He exercised his right to remain silent.
And all through the process of him being prosecuted, they were pretty cognizant of the fact that he was out of his fucking mind. He wouldn't speak without an attorney. Even his attorney had a hard time defending him. The detective said he came across as a completely normal father with no criminal record. There were no signs of such violent behavior. And it's so crazy, that part of the story where they were shadowing him so closely that his daughter wandered over, because he had a little daughter, and solicited the police to try and sell them candy for a fundraiser. That's how close they were on this guy's ass. Pinnell's attorney argued that the carpet fibers were secured illegally, which I can see an attorney kind of grabbing onto that, the way she kind of just said, God, this carpet's so soft. I sure would love to get in here and fuck your brains out and get my nipples cut off, but I'm just going to take this carpet down to the crime lab because I need it for an investigation. Pinnell's Superior Court Judge Richard Gebeline denied Moore's claims, concluding that the carpet was in plain view once Pinnell opened the door to invite Tashner inside the van. There was something else used as evidence, DNA. At the time, Only two other criminal cases in the country had permitted its introduction.
Wow.
The Pinnell case would, in fact, be the first time DNA evidence was used in a criminal trial.
That's cool.
Pretty fucking wild right there. Yeah. 1988, 1989. Despite the fibers and the DNA, the strongest case against Stephen Pinnell was Stephen Pinnell himself.
Oops.
He was a fucking idiot. Moore, his attorney, rolled the dice and had his client testify how the victim's blood and hair found their way into his van. He claimed that he picked up DeMauro, paid her $25 for oral sex, and dropped her off, joking that this is what the killer said. she gave me $10 back afterwards. So he was insinuating, this is the killer himself. He said, I dropped her off and she gave me $10 refund because she did such a bad job. And after he said this during testimony, I guess the jury was absolutely horrified that he he made this reference. They said he completely incriminated himself.
Yeah.
He had a very cold demeanor, but his attorney believed he explained everything perfectly. It took the juror 3 whole days. That's a long time.
That is a long time.
To deliberate longer than any other murder trial in Delaware history. And the reason why this is such... It took 3 days. I want to say it's because of the victims that he wasn't charged with, the ones that went missing that were never charged with.
Right.
And also, his attorney was so convinced that he did such a phenomenal job of detailing why these women had the traces that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And the jurors were kind of hung up on that. They said, this guy's kind of making sense and it kind of adding up here. He might not be the one that's held liable. But they eventually caught up to him, and Rob's going to explain that next part.
Yeah, now on November 23rd, 1989, Thanksgiving Day, the jury reached a verdict. In the end, Pinnell was convicted of murdering Ellis and DeMauro, but the jury deadlocked on the Gordon case. The jury also deadlocked on the death penalty. Pinnell was sentenced to 2 life terms in 1990. Moore initiated the lengthy appeals process, alleging that the fiber seizure was unconstitutional, amongst other things. The state responded by indicting Pinnell for the murders of Meyer and Gordon based on new evidence.
That's shitty. You try to get a retrial, and they're like, oh, while we're at it, let's...
Here's some more.
Yeah, right up your fucking ass. Which is good. You deserved it.
Fuck him. Pinnell asked if he could proceed without an attorney. The motion was granted.
Well, that's always good in a murder trial.
Yeah, yeah. Pinnell's next move shocked the world. He pled no contest to the 2 murders and asked the Supreme Court to sentence him to death.
Surprise, motherfucker.
A hearing was held to determine if the convicted murderer should be spared. Pinnell delivered a terse argument for his own death, filled with biblical quotes. The law was developed from one book, and it's that book I quote from, he said. In Numbers chapter 35, verse 30, whoever kills a person, the person shall be put to death. Also in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, whoever sheds a man's blood by man, well, that's a stupid line, his blood shall be shed.
Well, let's take a look at what book you're reading it from, Rob.
That's very true. There's a bad review right there. I'm waiting on it.
This court has found me guilty on the testimony of witnesses, so I ask that the sentence be death, as said by the state's law and God's law. That's all I have to say.
This guy wanted to be put to death. The crazy thing was, is he never, ever said that he was responsible for the murders. He remained kind of crazy about the way he kind of speak in third person. On Halloween 1991, Pinnell was sentenced to death. Under Delaware law, all such cases are automatically appealed to the state Supreme Court. Pinnell appeared before the 5-judge court on February 11th, 1992, to ask for his own execution. He remains the only person to represent himself before the state Supreme Court.
Wow.
And the only one to ask for death. He still refused to admit guilt at this point, and he would only speak about the crimes in third person. He'd be like, whoever murdered those fucking ladies, they're really in for it. But as for me, put my ass in the ground. Kill my fucking dumbass. And hopefully you guys can find that motherfucker that cut their nipples off. Pinnell argued as if he were a prosecutor demanding death for a vicious criminal.
Well.
The man that lives in the cell with me. The perpetrator must have sensed a pleasure in the killings, he told the court, since he did not commit just one, but continued in the same depraved manner on others. This pleasure is evident. And now, Pinnell's wife, Vera Catherine Pinnell, appealed the death sentence. She knew that he was a goddamn Looney Tune. And she used... So this is funny, too. His wife appealed his death sentence. She mm-hmm. was trying to get him out of jail.
Sure.
Instead of hiring a criminal defense attorney, she hired a fucking corporate tax attorney that had never defended a criminal case. And this attorney's like, in the interview, he's like, I tried my goddamnedest, but I was going to do the fuck out of his taxes. But then this bitch says, oh, no, he's getting the death penalty. I said, I can't help you, bitch. I'll still go. But yeah, I guess he was the only one that would take the job as some fucking number cruncher.
I saved her $2,000 on her taxes, but he got death penalty.
Yeah. They challenged a Superior Court psychiatric evaluation that declared Pinnell competent.
Yes.
The Supreme Court unanimously rejected the argument, and Pinnell was scheduled for execution. On March 14, 1992, Stephen Bryan Pinnell was the first man executed in Delaware in 46 years.
That's not a long time.
He had no final words and left no answers for the chaos he induced. And even in terms, I know one of a lot of people that listen to this show are always looking for the nitty gritty facts.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even want anything for his final meal.
Huh.
Give him some fucking green beans and a peanut butter sandwich.
I want them nipples I cut off.
I hope you guys can find that man that cut those nipples off, because I sure would like to check out his collection. And that's the story of Stephen Bryan Pinnell. And with that, I advised you all that there was a huge swerve in the story, and we've yet to hit that swerve.
That's very true.
And we are going to move to the Patreon sponsor of the episode, Rebecca. And mm-hmm. she's going to help us out.
You're going to swerve us.
She's going to swerve us. So swerve away. Hold on. We're swerving. And we're here with us, Patreon sponsor of the episode, Rebecca. Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us on this very special episode dedicated to you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I will clear the air real quick. Rebecca has a fucking jungle cat living with her. And Rob and I asked to see the cat, and it projectile missiled off of her person and did a backflip in her dwelling. And tore fucking everything off the walls.
It was very impressive.
He knocked over a Diet Coke. I'm sure Sid is a wonderful guy, but he did not show his good side to Rob and I. Is the thing about Sid, he's a Bengal cat, right?
Yeah.
That's a bad, those are fucking wild cats, buddy. Well, Rebecca, this is a really fun topic for us, unfortunately, and we talked about during the episode, there was a bit of a swerve related to the story and our guest. There's a little bit of a connection. So would you like to clue in the listeners as to what your connection is to this serial killer and the people that he murdered?
Yeah, so...
That's it, everyone. That's the cat. Just don't worry about that. He is allowed to be in this episode. He was part of Rebecca. She sponsored the episode. Sid is allowed on the episode as well.
Yeah, Sid, he's an attention drama queen.
It's okay.
But anyway, so yeah, the third victim of the killer, Margaret Lynn Finner, or as she was known by Lynn, she was my aunt. So she was my dad's younger sister. So I never really met her. I think I met her once as a baby, but obviously I don't really remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, you don't have to discuss anything you're not comfortable with. You talked to me earlier about how it was kind of later in life that you realized who your aunt was and how she actually met the killer and how she passed away, right?
Yeah, actually, so it was during the summer. I have a younger brother. He's like 2.5 years younger than me. So I think I was 17. So he would have been about 15. And we were going to driver's ed. And me and my brother, Chris, we had always kind of been told, and I think our cousins had too, who, you know, were not old enough to remember, that Lynn had always died in a car accident, which, you know, if you know the story, is not like super far from the truth, I guess. You know, you don't want to tell a kid like what really happened. But anyway, like, you know, I happened to bring up like, you know, well, dad's sister died in a car accident. And my mom's like, that's not really what happened. And she kind of told us, and it was like, you know, you just don't think like stuff like that happens in your family.
Yeah, that is crazy. That's really close to home.
Very close to home. I know that, and this is, I'm going to skip past this because there's a question I had about, so in the research, the drug of choice, and you don't have to say what it was, the research said the drug of choice for these people was cocaine. Is that what the understanding was for you?
Yeah, from my research, that's what I was able to find. But I mean, from all accounts, what I've heard about Lynn, I mean, you know, when, you know, she was murdered, I mean, she was like really trying hard to get her life together. You know, she had taken a job at a grocery store and, you know, was just really trying to get things back on track. I mean, she had had a drug problem and she had worked as a sex worker, but, you know, from, I mean, what, you know, from what it seems, she was really working hard to, you know, get things back together.
Well, that's so sad and unfortunate that your family had to go through that. And I know that's probably not something your family wants to talk about, but the story itself is great for what we do here, true crime. So I'm sorry that the expense of, you know, what your family had to go through and, you know, all that. Our condolences are there. But I think that your first choice for us was Whitey Bulger. And I wrote back and I said, Rebecca, if we cover Whitey Bulger, that'll
Whitey Bulger.
It'll take us 12 fucking years to cover that dude. And she said, that's all right. Oh, and by the way, I have an aunt that was murdered by a serial killer. And I said, oh, that should work. That should be all right. We'll skip past Whitey Bulger and we'll...
Got a couple of bag of tricks in the, in the old back pocket there.
And you actually have some Whitey Bulger memorabilia. Is that correct?
Yeah, I do. I have a belt that was, you can kind of see it over here on the wall. It was, so when the FBI, when he was, you know, found in LA, they seized his Santa Monica apartment. And it was one of the things that was discovered in his apartment. And I actually found it on eBay for $100.
What size belt is it? Do you know?
I've never tried it on. I'm an archivist, so it's just, I work a lot with clothes. So just the idea of kind of trying on the clothes is just, it's almost like sacrilegious.
Mortal sin.
I have a friend who tried it on and took a picture from Snapchat.
I would be that guy. I would be that guy. It's fucking cool if I put this belt on.
You'd have it on your head, no doubt.
That belt definitely wouldn't fit my fucking fat ass. So you said you went, and I was thinking in my head when you're telling me this stuff, you're like, I got this belt. And I'm thinking in my head, like, what fucking dark corner of the internet do you have to go to buy a goddamn belt that belonged to Whitey Bulger? But you said
eBay. They have everything on eBay.
There's a there's one murder specific. I can't remember the exact URL, but there's a murder website where all they specialize in is like directly related artifacts of killers and serial killer, like handwritten letters by Jeffrey Dahmer and all kinds of stuff like that. They specifically specialize in that. I don't know the website. It's kind of left me right now. But
I think I've heard of it. It's like Murderbilia.
That's it.
Okay. I've heard of that.
She said it like she didn't know. She's like, I don't know. Maybe it's like Murderbilia. Is that? And you have another artifact back there. If you're okay talking about that as well.
Yeah. No. Of course. It's. I think Murderbilia is actually where I got this one.
So you knew. She's like, I think it's. Yeah. It's not.
I could be wrong.
It's not Pornhub.
But anyway, it's like an ID bracelet that was worn by Eileen Wuornos when she was in prison.
And for those of you that are not familiar with Eileen Wuornos, you can go back. We did an episode about her. There at the end, she had some intense mental health issues, but she had some really, she was a very quotable character.
Oh, definitely.
She said, we're all going to the fucking spaceship, and she was off her rocker, man. She was crazy.
Her interviews are like amongst my favorite things ever. Like,
she's fascinating.
She was such a, like, she was just, she was out there.
She was beat to death and woman and just taken advantage of.
Yeah.
And I know why she did the things that she did. And it makes you wonder, if she met a sweetheart like us, what she would do. If she would just be blown away, or if she just would have fucking killed us too, round dog. She had took that bracelet and choked us to death with it.
She was a peach.
I guess that's one way to put it. Well, you did a fantastic job picking this episode for us. We are so thankful you gave us something with so much meat on the bone.
Thanks for thanks for, you know, letting me pick.
Yeah. Well, the thing was, she provided all of the research for her episode as well. Everything that she forwarded to us, she had everything, and she sent us an email and she had exclusive content that I would have had to have subscribed for. And she said, no, I got you guys. I got it for you. So, and I'm thinking, what kind of person would have a subscription like this? And then I see her wall. She's like, oh yeah, I got a Whitey Bulger knife that he used to fucking stab himself in the ass with. I got a Eileen Wuornos. This is her gold tooth and her bracelet here. And then I'm like, oh, okay. Rebecca's the kind of person that would have this kind of subscription.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So thank you so much for all the work that you put in. It made us a lot easier for us. Now, while you have us here, this is very hallowed grounds. Not a lot of people get this opportunity, but do you have...
Yeah, I know. I've been looking forward to it.
Do you have any questions for Rob Diggity Corncob Rob Pipe and the delicious Nicolich? Do you have anything that you would like to ask us or anything you'd like to pick our brains about?
Yeah. Have you guys seen Cemetery Terry lately?
Hold on a second. I got to hide.
Or Bill Wilkins.
I got to hide my face for a second.
Hey, wait, where'd he go?
Hey, you know, sometimes when these boys be walking around the house, they think they in here by themselves, walking around barefooted. You know, Nick, he got some long ass toe knuckle hairs. He got nasty so ass gross. Fucking feet. Sometimes when he walks, I can hear them corns on his feet, crackling around, making noises. Snap, crackle, pop, like motherfucking Orville Rickenbacker. But them boys, they got some nasty ass toes. You know what I'm saying? Cemetery Terry, he got some sweet feet. He be soaking his feet in buttermilk every night before bed. Sometimes I go down to the cemetery. Them boys out there sneaking around setting booby traps. I say, hey, y'all boys, get over here and suck on these toes. I got some buttermilk up and bing ding these motherfuckers.
It's like getting worse and worse.
Yes. We don't ever know whenever he's going to pop up.
It's like magic.
Yeah. And also, Bill, it's always a...
He's a drifter.
We can't channel him.
What's the word? A transient? Is that the word?
He's a slut.
Yeah. I didn't mean that.
Hold on.
My name's Bill Wilkins, and I'm 73 years old, and I died my own shit. Yeah. I was out on bond, and I was looking for my girlfriend... I was looking for a bracelet, Eileen Wuornos, and I heard this lady you're talking to has got a crazy fucking cat, and she's got my wife's bracelet. I want it back.
Yeah, so
just like that, he's gone.
Terry's got problems. Terry, he's soaking his feet in buttermilk and
weird.
Bill's upset about the bracelet. It is what it is.
Yeah, understandable.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're in the frozen tundra of America. I hope you don't get frozen in.
Yeah,
I know
please
it's
don't.
Like negative 30 degrees there, and it's fucking miserable. I see a lot of people on sometimes the dark web. They go outside when it gets cold enough, and they just piss, and you can watch the pee freeze in the rain or freeze in the air as it leaves their body. Do you ever? Is that one thing that you like to partake in? Whatever. Is that
no,
like
I can't say I've ever done that.
I like watching the people blow the bubbles.
Yeah,
and then the bubbles freeze.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool
too.
Or when they like just throw water up, hot water up in the air, and then it freezes. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Has Sid ever gotten
years ago? Like people would. Oh, sorry. What were you saying about Sid?
I was just asking if he's ever gotten outside before.
No.
Okay,
no,
that's good. That's because he would fucking run.
You see
I saw
what he did earlier. He's not ready to go outside.
He's a runner. I was gonna tell you.
Definitely.
But go ahead with what you were saying.
But no, a couple years ago, when it was really cold, people would take like a pair of jeans and they would like wet them and they would like kind of pose them in the snow so it would look like, and they would do it with shirts too, so it would look like a person, but no person.
That's awesome.
And that makes sense.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I get little pee dots on my pants all the time.
So you need to leave them outside.
Yeah. You're like, oh, that guy, he got a pee dot. No.
That guy there pees his pants.
Yeah. That's just, those are vacant pants. There's nobody in those. All right, Rebecca. Well, I'm going to stop recording, but we'll keep you on the line here. Thank you. Thank you so much for all of the contributions you made to the episode.
Thank you.
Did you have anything else for us before we stopped recording?
I don't think so.
Have you ever been attacked?
Picking my episode. It was
absolutely
really cool.
Thank you.
Really fun.
Have you ever been attacked by a Bigfoot or a ghost or a demon or anything like that before?
not attacked by one, but I have, so my parents' house, the neighborhood they live in, it's like their house. It's kind of
it's a mansion. You can say it. Okay. It's fine. It's a fucking mansion.
So, okay. It's kind of like the area they're in. The town is called Mound, like, you know, M-O-U-N-D, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like Indian burial mound, kind of like your episode from a while back.
Oh.
And that's kind of why they call it Mound. No anyway,
yeah.
So when I was in college, I was on spring break and I was hanging out in their basement because, you know, I was so cool. I was hanging out in my parents' basement on spring break.
You were high, though. You were high, right?
No.
Okay. Right.
No comment.
Okay.
So I was down there and I happened to look up and I saw what looked like a puff of smoke, and there was like no kind of rhyme or reason for it.
Yeah,
and you know, I've always really liked ghost stories. Ever since for I sure. was like a little tiny kid, so I'm like, oh my God, I just saw a ghost.
Saw
holy
a fucking
shit.
Ghost. Were you asleep right before that, or were you?
No,
just...
I was awake, and oh. I was just like, I mean, I actually woke my mom up to tell her, and she's like, get the fuck out of here.
And she's like, that's just your dad down there smoking pot. That's normally where he goes.
No, actually, my dad was in like Taiwan or something. So,
oh, dang.
Yeah. So, but yeah. But anyway, but yeah. And then like talking to the neighbors, it's like, they're like, yeah, we've kind of seen like,
yeah.
you know, weird stuff in our house too.
We get just, attacked you know, by shit all the time.
Well, there's this one house on their street. No, like, the people bought it and they stayed in the house one night and they never stayed a full night there.
Again. Oh, wow.
Yeah. How bad would that have to be?
Yeah.
You like shit in the toilet and flush and the turd just shoots back out.
We got to get the fuck out of here.
It's not haunted. It just rejected our turds.
No wonder why it was so cheap.
Oh, God. Well, that's good stuff, Rebecca.
That is good stuff.
All right. I'm going to say thanks again. For everything, and thanks for coming on the show.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.